genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County, or you can listen to us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people have to say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. If this sounds like National Public Radio, well, then you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you'd like to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. That is 639-0008 or area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme. Before we get into today's theme, I do have a public service announcement that I need to have. We have an urgent request to our listeners who want to become heroes. United Blood Services is holding a blood drive at the Technology Development Center here in Ventura from 8 o'clock this morning to 1 o'clock this afternoon. The TDC is located at 5200 Valentine Road in Ventura. They need volunteers to donate blood. They need all types of blood, but in particular, they're short on O negative and A negative blood types. Did you know that your donation can save up to 3 lives? Giving blood provides you some benefits as well. You can find out your blood type if you don't know it already. You can get the results of your cholesterol level. You can earn online points for fun stuff like CDs, ice cream, and t-shirts. But most importantly, you're helping others, so you should feel very good about yourself. For more information, go to the Technology Development Center at 5200 Valentine Road or call Holly Nash at United Blood Services. Her telephone number is area code 805-477-1240. That's the blood drive for today, Friday the 13th. Now, every show has a theme, and today's theme is Don't Be Naive. My first guest has captured the innocence and immaturity of one of life's most important rites of passage, losing one's virginity. She's compiled stories from real people about losing their virginity. Her book is titled The Virgin Diaries. It addresses the physical and emotional aspects of losing one's virginity and answers many of the curious questions teenagers often face about the subject. She and her mother both co-wrote the book. They gathered stories and compiled them into a guidebook for men, women, straights, gays, who want more information, guidance, or assurance about the most intimate of acts. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Kimberly Johnson, that's no relation to Virginia Johnson of Masters and Johnson, has an unusual background. She worked for 7 years on Days of Our Lives soap opera along with her mom. She portrayed a police officer on the popular daytime drama. The makeup crew often referred to her as the diva cop. She was born in Baltimore, Maryland. She was raised right here in Southern California. During the 1980-81 school year, she actually lived with her father, who was a network news cameraman, in Moscow, Russia, where she attended the Anglo-American school. She also has a background in sales, selling everything from fine boat china to industrial chemicals. Kimberly is now pursuing her dream of conquering the world. She resides in Northern California. Kimberly, welcome to the show.
Hi, and thank you.
Well, thank you for being our guest today, and thank you for addressing this most intimate of subjects. A lot of people get a little bit squishy about it, so I'm glad that you tackled it. So let's dive right into it, shall we?
Okay.
Virginity, or the loss thereof, it's a highly charged issue. Right now, Bristol Palin, that's Sarah Palin's daughter, and she's also a single teenage parent, she's out there promoting abstinence to unmarried teens. She gets between $15,000 and $30,000 a speaking engagement. During the past decade, however, the whole thought of teaching abstinence to teenage children, teenage pregnancies have actually risen. Just the 1 year alone, 2005 to 2006, teenage pregnancies rose 3%, and they have been steadily rising throughout the 2000s. Is abstinence a realistic approach to curbing teenage sexual activity?
I don't think so at all. I mean, if abstinence
is into play, of course it works, but nobody really puts it into play. They're teenagers. They have raging hormones. They're curious about each other. And when you tell a teenager, don't do something, it's almost like saying to go do it, you know? And it's just a natural thing within all of us that, you know, at a certain age, our hormones are raging. We start looking at, you know, whether it's members of the opposite sex or whoever it is we're attracted to, and we're curious. And then on top of it, we have everything from the computer to the radio to billboards. Sex is in our face. You can turn on the television and see sex in an insurance commercial. So it's everywhere. And I think that if parents are uncomfortable about talking to their kids about sex and think that abstinence is the answer, they're just fooling themselves.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Now, you and your mom decided to compile the book, The Virgin Diaries. What qualifications do you have for putting this book together? Are you some sort of sex researcher or something on the side?
No, absolutely not. We're just human beings. And I can say what qualifies us is that we've had our own experiences, and we wanted to hear what other experiences were. We specifically say in the book, we're not doctors, we're not scientists, we're not psychologists. The book has absolutely no commentary. It doesn't tell anybody what to do, with the exception of one of the questions that we ask the participants is, what advice do you have for virgins? So each person who provided their story gave us, or, you know, provided also advice. But other than that, we're just human beings who have a curiosity.
All right. So you didn't offer any prescriptive advice or anything of that nature. You really didn't even edit the book down. These are just individual stories from people who gave you their story about how they lost their virginity. So my next question is, how did you collect the stories? I mean, did you just put it out there on the internet? Anybody who is no longer a virgin, please send me your story?
Yes. I did start with my friends. I will say we did edit it to a degree. A lot of the stories, I should say, quite a few of the men's stories had a little more detail than we were interested in. We specifically said we didn't want a lot of sexual detail, that we weren't putting out pornography, but we wanted, you know, more the experience of the feeling of it. So we edited it to a degree, and we also fixed up the punctuation. But yes, I started with my friends, and I started initially with women. And that just led to, I didn't have enough stories. It was too one-sided. That led to men. I got a response from one woman online who was gay, and that prompted us to start including gay people and their stories. So we did go to the internet. We went to various websites, put out a call if you were interested. There was no scientific, you know, way of doing it. It was just anybody who wanted to participate. And then when we got the stories, we read them, and there was only about one or two that we did not go with, because we just felt that we didn't believe it.
So they gave you stories that were just beyond belief?
Yeah, it sounded contrived. It sounded like somebody wanted attention. I mean, pretty much, if you read the book, there was one set of questions that everybody answered, and you can kind of get that everybody stuck to that questionnaire. And even though some of the stories are kind of wild and crazy, it didn't have the feeling of being fake. But then there were a few that did, so we just thought, you know what, we're not going to go with them, and we had enough to choose from.
Did you send them back a rejection letter and said, sorry, this won't work for our book, but send it to Playboy or Penthouse and they might publish it for you?
No, actually, no, we didn't.
All right, so it wasn't a scientific study, but do you feel it was a broad-based enough study that you could really draw some conclusions about human sexuality and the loss of virginity?
Yeah, there's 76 stories, 36 men, 36 women. So, you know, because it wasn't a scientific study or controlled, we got who we got. One of the things I found out by reading this book over and over again, looking for mistakes and what have you do notice there's quite a few Catholic people who responded. There's, I would say, at least 65% of the stories were from Catholic people, and I did find it interesting that they wanted to share their story. I didn't necessarily notice that as I was collecting the stories, and I didn't say anything about it in the book, but, you know, each reader can take what they want from it, so I just found that to be kind of a strange and interesting thing that came up with it.
Cool. We're talking to Kimberly Johnson, everybody. No relation to Virginia Johnson of Masters and Johnson, but she has compiled a rather interesting book titled The Virgin Diaries, where she is recapturing and actually compiling people's stories of how they lost their virginity. Now, you were saying there wasn't a whole lot of editing that went along with this, Kimberly, except you tossed out a couple of stories as just being too far-fetched, too unbelievable. Do you really think that everybody was being honest with you in their appraisal of how they lost their virginity?
Well, the stories are anonymous, so it's no way to tell for, you know, for sure. I believe at least the friends that I had who filled out the questionnaire, I believe they were being honest with me. And I really do, you know, when you read the stories, there is a ring of truth to them. I was really touched with the stories that I got from men and how they really said, it gave me the feeling that they were sitting at their computer and going back in their mind and remembering what happened. Did people embellish? I can't say for sure if they did. I don't think that the ones in our book really did.
All right. Well, you bring up an interesting point there about reminiscing, looking back on it. And in some ways, hindsight looking back on the situation probably gives you a different perspective. So my first question is, what was the oldest virgin that sent you a story, and who was the youngest virgin? What ages were they?
Well, interestingly enough, the oldest virgin was a male, and he was 32 years old. I found that very surprising. And the youngest was a female almost turning 13.
13 years old. All right. So the perspective that the 13-year-old female had was obviously going to be different than somebody who was reporting back to you from their 30s or even beyond that, their 40s or their 50s. So tell me, the perception of the 13-year-old female, how was that different? Was that more naive? Was that more immature than, say, some of the older ones? Or was it just as pensive and just as reflective?
I think that Let me think about that question. I mean, she was probably in her 20s when she provided the story.
Oh, so she was looking back. Okay, got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody in the book was, the ages from the people we got were 20 to 77. So, you know, it wasn't that we got it from the person right when it happened.
Got it. Demographic, who do you want to read this? Kind of describe your ideal reader.
Well, ideally, we put this book together for virgins, but the demographic is really anybody who's interested, and we like to say 13 to the grave. Obviously, the book's not going to be for everybody. Each person likes what they like, but everybody has the experience of at least being curious about losing your virginity. Most of us have gone through it, so it's something that everybody can identify with in some way. I've had men who were in their 50s and 60s really enjoy this book. I've had 14-year-old boys that I found out through my friends, you know, their sons who kept going back to it and reading it. Women in their 50s seem to really enjoy it. Women in their 20s. So really, 13 to the grave.
All right. Well, that's a real wide swath right there. So let's drill down on it. What is a 40-year-old person, male or female, going to get out of reading this book? Why would they pick this book up and read it?
Anybody who's interested in the study of the human condition, my mom and I have our company ARC Stories, and that's our goal, is we want to create anthologies based on the human experience. So one of the important times of your life is losing your virginity, and it's just very interesting. I'm 42 years old, and I like to read the stories because it gives me a little bit of insight to the human condition, how people are feeling about certain things, and then it makes you feel connected to other people because you realize that all the things that you felt, the fears, the hopes, whatever it is attached to losing your virginity, you sense a common bond, a common feeling with all these people who you have, you know, you don't know who they are. You feel a connection to them.
We're talking to Kimberly Johnson, everybody, the author of the book The Virgin Diaries. We've got to take a short break, Kimberly, but before I do, I want to give you this question to think about while we're on break. Your book, The Virgin Diaries, it has a very salacious title. One might think that the book is about sex, just based on its title. But you write in the book, it's not really about sex, however. So when we come back, I want you to explain what you mean by that. And we'll be back after this short break.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What? Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you are listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Don't Be Naive. My first guest is Kimberly Johnson, author of The Virgin Diaries, a very interesting book where she's compiled stories from over 76 people who are telling her, relating how they lost their virginity. And before we went to break, Kimberly, we were talking about your book's salacious title. You might think, just reading that, that it's all about sex, but you actually write that the book is not about sex. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, it's not just about sex. Obviously, there's sex in the book. But pretty much, it's about the feelings associated with losing your virginity. When I first approached people, my friends, what have you, on, you know, hey, I'm doing this book, can I interview you on how you lost your virginity? Pretty much everybody said to me, oh, my story's so boring. And I said, well, not after you answer the questions, because the questions take you from the very beginning to the very end and everything in between. How old were you? How old are you now? How old were you then? All the way into how did you know the person? How long did it take to lose your virginity? So, you know, that's it's just interesting to me that people seem to think that their story is boring until all of a sudden they really realize there is a whole story to it.
Well, everybody is unique, just like every individual is unique, so I'm sure everybody's loss of virginity is just that, unique. But one of the things that I definitely took away from reading this book is the differences between the male response and the female response to losing the virginity. If you could sort of describe for us what those differences were. What were the two camps, the male camp and the female camp?
Well, there's twofold. Number one, a lot of my questions were how did it make you feel? The women pretty much would answer how they felt emotionally, and the men would answer how they felt physically. I also found the most glaring observation, or the glaring thing that came out, was women didn't think it was that great. Men thought it was great. You know, I loved it. Maybe it only it only took 30 seconds or a minute or whatever it was, and that was a common theme as well. But women, you know, what even one of them said, is that it? You know, or it didn't feel good, or I felt regret. Whereas for men, it was something that they, you know, they finally got to do. Women, it was something that a lot of the time, not everybody, but a lot of the time, they just wanted to get it over with.
All right, now I'm going to ask you to put on your editorial hat for just a minute and interpret that for us. Because here it is, it's a rite of passage. Everybody's going to go through it, or most everybody's going to go through it. And yet, two completely different thought processes. The males can't wait to do it. They rush to do it. They do it, and man, once it's over, it's done. Check off the list, and we're moving on to something new. Whereas the women, they just wanted to get it done and be over. I don't quite understand that. So break it down for me. Give me some editorial on that.
Well, that's a loaded question, and I can only go on what my experience is and what I've heard from my girlfriend. And, you know, I guess for women, you know, you want to lose your virginity in some cases with somebody that you love. You want it to be perfect. But when you're 15, 16, 17 years old, it's really tough. You know, I mean, it's maybe your first boyfriend. Maybe it's something that, you know, you lose at a party because you've had too much to drink and your crush is hitting on you. It's something that you feel like, I think as a female, you know you're going to do it. And at some point, when you have relationships with boys, you know, or you feel, in order to keep them around, that you're going to have sex with them. And it's not that you don't want to, but it's something that's very scary, and it's something that, you know, you don't. This really brings me to the fact that parents don't talk to their kids about what to expect emotionally. Maybe you get some sex education in school, and it's mostly the mechanics. I don't think anybody is really prepared for what happens not only during, but afterwards. So in a girl's mind, she's coming from the perspective of this is totally foreign. It's something that the boys want, and it's something, you know, there's all these mixed messages. Do it with someone you love. But there's also, you know, watching movies and people losing, you know, having sex left and right. So I think it's just very confusing. And that's probably the perspective of why there were so many in the girls in the book who wanted to just get it over with. I'd say with the boys, it was maybe a little more obvious why they wanted to do it.
Okay. All right. Well, we are simple creatures, Kimberly. We're talking to Kimberly Johnson, everybody, author of the book The Virgin Diaries. And in compiling this, you asked a standardized list of questions. So what were some of the revealing questions that you had on your list that everybody had to answer?
Well, you know, I had for both sexes and even for gay people, I did have a different set of questions, but still the same thing. You know, was he gentle? Were you gentle? That was something I was really curious about because, you know, I can reflect back on my last time, and I can fortunately say he was as gentle as, you know, he could be for the age that he was. But I ask, you know, what was going on while it was happening? What was going through your mind? Do you regret it? What kind of advice did your parents give you? And that's interesting because that is one of the questions. What kind of advice did your parents give you? Almost everybody in the book said none or don't do it. And I find that personally to be a sad statistic. Same thing with, did you get advice from religious figures? Pretty much none or don't do it.
Interesting. We're talking to Kimberly Johnson, everybody. Kimberly, I got to ask you, in reading the book, I was somewhat surprised by how many teens had same-sex relationships before their heterosexual relationships, and they treated the loss of virginity in both categories completely differently. Why do you think that is?
Well, when I first started thinking about doing this book, part of the reason was because I was hearing, and this idea came to me in 2004, so I started, you know, I was hearing about how oral sex is not sex, how teenagers are engaging in oral sex and they don't believe it's sex. And also the fact that, you know, young people are exploring bisexuality. Whereas I remember when I was in high school, if anybody had said, you know, that they had kissed a girl, if any of my girlfriends had told me, that would have been such a scandal.
Right.
And in today's world, it's very widely accepted, especially within their peer group. So, you know, I'm going off on a tangent, and I don't know if I'm asking, but I just think that it's born out of the fact that, you know, nobody is talking to teens about sex. So they just, you know, they're kind of making it up as they go along, and they don't know the difference, or they feel like maybe if I lose my virginity or if I have sex with the same sex, it isn't really losing my virginity. I don't really know.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. What did you take away from collecting all these stories? What was your big finding, your big aha?
My big aha was that, and it's really not a big aha, is that no matter what, we all have fears. I think actually I will change that. The big aha was the men. I was so pleasantly surprised with the responses that I got from men because they were, even though they were, you know, excited about losing their virginity and they couldn't wait to do it, and then when they did it, they were so happy, and that really wasn't a big surprise. The big surprise was how thoughtful they were and how scared they were. You know, boys always come off as, you know, strong and confident and male bravado, and when you're a teenage girl especially, you know, you don't even know that inside that they're just as scared and that they, you know, they don't want to appear like a virgin.
Okay, fair enough. We're talking to Kimberly Johnson, everybody, author of the book, The Virgin Diaries. Is your book only for virgins, or does it offer something to the population in general?
I think it offers something for everyone. If you're interested in human psychology in any way, shape, or form, it's something that would be of interest to you.
Okay, so really, if you're 40 years old, it would be of interest to you. If you're 30 years old, it would be of interest to you as well. Perhaps for different reasons?
Exactly. And that's up to the individual reader. You know, I can say on my website, ARC Stories, there's two stories that you, and it's ARK Stories. You can read two stories in preview and see if it's something that, you know, is of interest to you.
All right. That seems fair enough. Now, you said one of the things that you took away that kind of surprised you and disappointed you in some ways is that parents are not talking to their children about sex and sex education. So what are some of the stumbling blocks that parents encounter when talking to their children about sex?
Well, I think it just makes them uncomfortable in general. And it's interesting to me because parents want to make sure kids, you know, can get into college, that they know how to drive a car, that they prepare for their SATs. But when it comes to sex, you know, they feel weird and uncomfortable, and they see their teenagers as little babies, and they don't really want to go there. And I think that's really unfortunate because sex is a part of life, whether it makes you feel uncomfortable or not as a parent. And I think it's just good to start an open dialogue with your kid and get past the fact that you feel uncomfortable.
Okay, that seems fair enough. Now, you wrote this book with your mom.
Yes.
And I have to ask you, this is a somewhat indiscreet question, but Are your moms and your stories in the book?
Yes, they are.
They are. Okay. You want to tell us what page they're on? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't.
Okay. Just kidding. I'm just kidding you on that. But seriously, then your mom and you probably have a very open relationship about discussing sex and the whole act. But for the population in general, what age is an appropriate age for parents to start talking to their children about sex?
If I were a parent, which I'm not, I would say as soon as your kid starts, or like let's say you have a young kid. I was 6 years old when I started asking my mother about sex.
6 years old? Wow,
yeah.
You were precocious.
Well, and it was funny because she told me the mechanics of it, and I was thoroughly repulsed, yet I continued to ask her the question. So therefore, I was curious, even though it grossed me out and horrified me. So I think number one, if your child starts asking you about it, that's a good time to start talking about it. I also think that, you know, let's say your daughter is 15 years old and you've noticed that she's starting to dress a little bit more provocatively, not trashy, but, you know, wearing tighter clothes. Clearly, this is attention getting close. She wants attention from boys or from whoever she's attracted to. And, you know, so this is a good time to start noticing what's going on in her life. And, you know, I mean, I think kids don't want to admit to their parents that they have an interest in sex because it's just as uncomfortable for them. So, I think, you know, you can go online, you can utilize the Virgin Diaries, you can read the book yourself, and if you think it's something that's good, then, you know, leave stuff on their nightstand. Don't say, you know, we have to have this serious conversation about sex. Make it available to them if it's really, you know, uncomfortable.
We're talking to Kimberly Johnson, everybody, author of the book, The Virgin Diaries. Kimberly, you and your mom both have an unusual connection as well. You both worked on the soap opera Days of Our Lives.
Yes.
And you were both on together for about 7 years. So
yes.
How did working on Days of Our Lives prepare you for writing the book?
Well, I don't know that it necessarily prepared me. I've always been good at asking questions. Some of my friends joke that I ask them ad nauseum. So it's just something that I've always, you know, I've always been curious. I've always liked to ask people how they feel about things. Perhaps the experience of me being an actor just got me a little bit more in touch with my feelings. But other than that, I don't know that it necessarily prepared me for this.
All right, fair enough. Well, then what was it like working with your mother on a project like this?
Actually, it was pretty easy. I mean, we never really had any real conversations about sex. It was just collecting the stories, editing them, arranging them. Other than that, you know, I mean, I knew what her story was, and she knew what my story was. Prior to the book, we didn't ever talk in detail about how we had lost our virginity. Clearly, I know she had lost hers, and, you know, soon, I would say within a month of when I had lost mine, I told her that I did it. But working on the book was, I don't know, it was just kind of like, had nothing to do with sex.
I see. It was just a project, and you guys were working on the project together.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. We're talking to Kimberly Johnson, everybody, author of the book, The Virgin Diaries. Kimberly, it's been a delight talking with you about this book. If people wanted to learn more information, where would they go to find it out?
Well, you can find all the information on our website, which, again, is arkstories.com, A-R-K stories. You can also order it from amazon.com. You can click a link on our website to get right to Amazon. And then it's also on various other websites, Barnes & Noble. You can go into any of your local bookstores and ask them, and they can order it for you.
Oh, that's great. Kimberly, thanks so much for being our guest today, and have a very happy Friday the 13th. We'll talk to you further down the road.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Take care.